It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. My name is Spencer, and that's it. That's the end of the show. Please go ahead and rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts and all the other places. If you are watching this on YouTube, you can share it. We could share anything. You can share the audio version and the YouTube version. But specifically on YouTube, you can comment and like and subscribe. Bjarkbus. You can contact me. Email is at dictionarypod@gmail.com. Social media is at dictionarypod. My personal social media is at speejampar, S-P-E-J-A-M-P-A-R. And you can join the Patreon for $1 a month. It'll get you very early episodes. It'll get you no ads. That's always great, no ads. It'll get you some exclusives when I do more of those sometime. Maybe some other non-dictionary things that I create someday. You can buy some merchandise for this show. The link is in the show notes. You can call the Google Voice number 917-727-5757. It's also in the show notes. You can call it. Leave a message. Tell me whatever you want to say. I'm going to put it in an episode so the people can hear it and... you could also just say, this is just private for you, Spencer. What else? Any of the other things to say? Nah, I think that's good. Okay, I'm recording this on March 19th, 8:34 a.m. And ready, set, go! The first word in this episode is European plan. Two words, the E in European is capitalized. Noun from 1834, a hotel plan whereby the daily rates cover only the cost of the room. Compared to American plan. I don't at all remember reading American plan in terms of a hotel. This is fascinating. Why are there different types of plans? Let's see. Not American Planning Association. No. You silly. The American plan comes from a meeting. No, this is different. That's about union negotiations. I don't want to know about that. I want to learn about, there's also a thing about combat venereal diseases. That's also an American plan. How many plans has America made? Here we go. I had to type in hotels. Is a meal plan? Let's see. Can we find something quickly? Quickly. Okay. It can be abbreviated to AP in hotel listings, I guess. It means that the nightly rate quoted by a hotel or resort includes three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I guess that's it. But in Europe, the plan that Europe has made... the hotel rate does not include any food. Not at all. It only covers the cost of the room. Huh. I have never heard of this American plan. I have never heard of this European plan. The hotels that I have stayed at, maybe they might cover a simple breakfast, which is not usually... you know, the best breakfast in the world. Sometimes they're good, but not if they're including it, it's probably not the best breakfast. It's fine. I don't think it's ever included a lunch or a dinner either. Interesting. So I think the European plan is what most hotels, at least here in America, are using. I don't think American hotels are really using the American plan very much. But it did say resorts as well. And there are, you know, we call them all-inclusive resorts. Those include breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and maybe a bunch of drinks, too. All-inclusive, everything's inclusive. But you got to tip. You should probably tip. I recommend that. Okay, European plan, specifically, only covers the cost of the room, no food. Ooh, I got to make a sound effect. I'm just going to go, The next word is European red mite. Three words, noun from 1940, and the word mite is M-I-T-E. It is a small, bright red or brownish-red oval old-world mite that is a destructive orchard pest, and we saw a couple destructive pests in the previous episode, too. The species name is Panoninchus or Panoninchus ulmi. No clue what any of those words mean. It's red. Maybe we should put a picture of one of these on social media. This European red mite. Small, bright red or brownish red, and it's shaped like an oval. I imagine the ticks, I guess when ticks, when they drink a lot of blood, a lot of blood, they become red. And, or they probably look kind of red, but specifically they get more ovaly shape because their body fills up with blood. Okay. The next word is europium. Europium, noun from 1901. I thought this would have been capitalized, but I guess not. This is a divalent and trivalent metallic element of the rare earth group, found especially in monazite sand. And it says to see the element table. Also, the EU prefix, which was five or six episodes ago. The EU symbol is for europium. It's divalent and trivalent, something about two and three. Metallic, rare earth. It's mostly found, especially in monazite sand, which I've never heard of this type of sand before. I'm very, very quiet. I'm not putting my full voice into it, so it maybe sounds a little weak. Otherwise, it might be too much. Okay, the next word is Europacentric. Europacentric, with a capital E, adjective from 1926. The synonym is Eurocentric, which was in the previous episode. And so it seems like Europacentric maybe was a little bit too hard and clumsy to say. So then they said, well, just simplify it to Eurocentric. We don't need to say the whole name of our continent. What year? Oh, yeah, Eurocentric was 1963, and Europacentric was 1926. So that's almost 40 years. Europacentrism is a noun. The next word is Eurozone. Eurozone. Noun from 1955. The geographical area comprising the countries that use the euro as the official currency. So this is, I guess, the European Union. They use the euro. So that whole area, the whole area in Europe that uses the euro, that's the Eurozone. Because it's the zone, the physical space where they use the euro. The Eurozone. Eurozone. The next word is a prefix, Uri, E-U-R-Y. It means broad or wide, as in urahaline or urahaline, which is coming up real soon. We'll get to learn about all about that, something that's wide, broad or wide. This is from the Greek word uris, which is akin to the Sanskrit word uru, U-R-U. You are you, and me is me. Ken is me? So that word uru, it means broad or wide. So that's what it is. Uri. Okay, let's move on to The next word is urobathic. E-U-R-Y-B-A-T-H-I-C, adjective from 1902, capable of living on the bottom in both deep and shallow water. So it doesn't matter how deep the water is, could be shallow, could be deep, but this thing something that is urobathic can live at the bottom of either one of those situations, or anywhere in between, shallow all the way down to deep. And so they just like to live at the bottom of the water, and they can, the pressure, it sounds like doesn't matter what the pressure is in the water, they just like it down there deep, on the sand, and then maybe there's some coral, and maybe some other things. This is from uri prefix, which I assume means wide or broad, but also the Greek word bathos, which means depth. So how is that wide depth, broad depth, big depth, all the way down the deepest part of that water? The next word is Eurydice. Capital Eurydice. And of course, us Americans, we Americans want to say, based on just how we say words and put the letters together, we would want to say Eurydice. But no, it's Eurydice, noun from the 15th century, the wife of Orpheus, whom he attempts to bring back from Hades. This is one of those classic stories. I wouldn't have remembered who Eurydice was, but I've heard of this story. Is this the one where he's like, I want to go bring her back from Hades, so he's got to go down there, and he's got to go down the river Styx and find her, and then the guy in Hades, is it Hades or somebody else, says, okay, well, you could take her, but don't look back. You got to trust that she's there. Don't ever look back, because if you look back, then she's staying here forever, and there was something else. Maybe somebody's going to turn to stone or something. I don't remember. But don't look back. And, of course, right as he's about to leave, he has to turn around and see. And she was there, I think, and then she's got to stay in Hades. Why did Eurydice have to go to Hades in the first place? What's that story? She had a whole life before she was saved, so tried to be saved from Hades. What's her story? What's the rest of the thing like? The whole point of her can't just be about being saved from Hades or almost saved from Hades. Yeah. Okay. Eurydice, from the Greek Eurydice. Eurydice? Yeah. The next word is urahaline or urahaline. This was the example that it used for the uri prefix. This is an adjective from 1888, able to live in waters of a wide range of salinity, as in urahaline crabs. So this is where the wide prefix is coming in, a wide range of salinity, not something that's literally wide, wide feet, wide whatever, the wide world of sports, the world wide web. The world wide web, is that the word that we use there? Why am I having a brain fart? The world, isn't it the world wide web? What's the wide? It's because the whole wide world, the whole wide world. The world is wide. So these urahalines, it's an adjective. They can be described as urahaline. A wide range of salinity is what they like to live in. Freshwater, saltwater, and I don't know of any types of other salinity in water. There's probably variations, though. This word is from the uri prefix plus the Greek word halinos, which means of salt. And then that's also from the word hals, H-A-L-S, which means salt. And there's more at the word salt. I'm trying to think of other words with salt that have I mean, there's salinity, that's that word, so that's probably related. Okay, that's urahaline. Urahaline. It's all about just a wide range of salt. The next word is Eurypterid. 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 Noun from 1871. And we've seen this P-T-E-R part of the word before. You just think about what that means. because you probably know. Okay, this word is any of an order Eurypterida of usually large aquatic Paleozoic arthropods resembling scorpions and related to the horseshoe crabs, and they are called also sea scorpions. Ooh. There is a picture of a Eurypterid. It kind of looks like a scorpion, I guess. They got a big, big body part in the front that just sort of gradually transitions into a pointy tail that looks like they've got scales that are sort of like bands across the whole body. Band, 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 all the way to the tail. They have, looks like, I don't know if you could call them claws. They've got two appendages near their sort of face area that sort of are pointing backwards, but maybe they can point them forwards too. Yeah, they seem like maybe they're claws, I'm not sure. And then they have, it looks like, eight more appendages, four on either side, and I don't know if they're antenna or arms or legs or something. They probably use them to move around. I don't think that just these two big claws are enough. Maybe the tail, they can help, you know, scuttle about. What else about these things can we say? Well, Paleozoic, wait, so they are they dead? Are they gone? Aquatic Paleozoic arthropods, that makes me think that they are all extinct. The etymology is what we got to talk about, because this is from the Uri prefix, which we know means wide, and the word pteron, which is also Greek, which means wing. There's more at the word feather. But why? They don't look like they have wings or feathers. Now, those appendages at the front, the eight in the front, they do look like they have little hairs maybe on them. It's hard to tell. So I don't really know how this is related to feather, but it's fascinating and it's interesting. And that's what I got to say about that. I do want to look up another picture because I want to, like, are there fossils? Maybe we could post a picture of a fossil. Yep. Let's see. It's just got this sort of wide body that goes to a point, and they got these things. And oh, now this one looks very scary. It looks almost like it's got robot claws. I don't know if that's true. I think that's a weird artist's impression. Maybe some of them do have that, actually. Yeah. Oh, and somebody made a big old plushie of a Eurypterid. Yeah, there's a few different kinds of these things. Looks fun. You don't want to... Oh, what? Some of the larger Eurypterids compared with somebody who's 6 feet tall, and they're bigger than that. They're like 10 feet long, some of these. These have got to be fully extinct. I don't think these are living anymore. Wowee. In fact, the smallest one looks like it's half the size of a normal human. These were huge. Ooh. Okay, moving on. La. The next word. Oh, Eurypterid is also an adjective. The next word is urethermal. Urethermal. Well, we can use our brains and look back to urahaline and the uri prefix and figure out, this is probably something that lives in a wide range of temperatures. Sometimes you got to just use your brain. Adjective from 1881. Tolerating a wide range of temperature, as in urethermal animals. Yep, that's it. We're so great. La. Next is urethermic. Adjective also from 1903. And the synonym is just urethermal, so it's the same thing. Urethermous, with an M-O-U-S at the end. Adjective from 1940. We keep on going later in years. The synonym is urethermal again. Why? They were like, urethermic. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Urethermal, that's that. And then we had urethermic. And then we had urethermous. So urethermal was from the 1880s. And then later they were like, well, we can come up with a better name. And then it didn't stick. And then later they were like, well, can we come up with another better name? Is there a better name than urethermal? urethermos. No, we didn't stick either. I think urethermal is the one that people use mostly. Yeah. La. Next is eurythmic. Ooh. E-U-R-Y-T-H-M-I-C. You could also, what's the difference with this one? Eurythmic, there's an H. E-U-R-H-Y. The word rhythm is in there. I like that. Eurythmic is an adjective from 1855. Number one, the synonym is harmonious. I wish that there were multiples of me so I could go, ha, ha, ha. Number two, for eurythmic, of or relating to eurythmy or eurythmics. Those are coming up. Let's talk about those. Ha. Eurythmics, noun from 1912. Again, you can put in the H or not. Some of you might be aware of a band called the Eurythmics. This is the art of harmonious bodily movement, especially through expressive timed movements in response to improvised music. Now, I don't know if they were, if the band, the Eurythmics, were improvising their music. I doubt it. I think they were pretty well written. Maybe they improvised a little bit. But this is the art of harmonious bodily movement through expressive timed movements in response to bodily improvised music. In response to improvised music, so the music is improvised, and then you're just doing an interpretive dance. That's all this is. You're moving your body in whatever ways that the music makes you feel. Anytime you're dancing, unless it's, I guess it's like fully choreographed. Even then, you could probably call it eurythmics. Ooh, I'm doing the eurythmics, because the music is making me feel like that. Ugh, this is why you need to watch the videos. Not that it was the most interesting dance in the world, but it was something, and I could only do it with my arms. Yeah. Okay, eurythmic. This is from the Latin eurythmia, which of course comes from the Greek. It means rhythmical movement. Rhythmical movement, which is from the Greek eurythmos, which means rhythmical, which is from, the EU prefix, not the EURY prefix. The EU prefix plus rhythmos, which means rhythm. So the EU prefix was well or easily or good or true. Why exactly did they put the EU prefix before the word rhythmos? Good rhythm, true rhythm. Not exactly sure what happened there. Like what was the meaning? What's the real meaning of all that? I don't know, but it's good enough for me. Eurythmics. Yeah, just harmonious bodily. Now, how can your bodily movement be harmonious? It can. La. The next word is, here is another related word, eurythmy. Eurythmy with an M-Y at the end. Noun from 1949. This is a system of harmonious body movement to the rhythm of spoken words. Ho-ho. So, if you are then doing some interpretive dancing as I am speaking this podcast to you, then that would be some eurythmy. Why specifically spoken words? The etymology, trying to find something different. Oh, you know what? I read the etymology for eurythmy accidentally. So, yeah, that's what it is. It's all about, I mean, it's the same etymology, really, for all three of these. Eurythmic, eurythmics, and eurythmy. It's all about rhythm and rhythmical movement. That's what it's all about, movement specifically. So did the band the Eurythmics do a lot of dancing? I don't know. I didn't follow them at all. My sound effect should have been a body movement. The next word is eurytopic. E-U-R-Y, topic. Adjective from 1937. Tolerant of wide variation in one or more environmental factors. So it's not about a topic, a subject. This is about the from the Greek word topos, which means place. So it's about a place, environmental factors. Tolerant of wide variation in one or more environmental factors. So this makes me think that something that is eurotopic, maybe it's an animal, can live in different environments. Maybe cold, maybe hot, maybe dry, maybe humid, maybe valley, maybe mountain, you know, lots of different types of toposes. Eurotopic. Okay, we got one more word, and let's see, how much more... Oh, that was the last Uri word. We got no more Uris, no more wide things. So now we're going to go to the next word, which is the last word. It's the word eusocial. Eusocial. E-U, and then the word social. Adjective from 1966. It's a long definition. Living in a cooperative group in which usually one female and several males are reproductively active and the non-breeding individuals care for the young or protect and provide for the group. As in the example, this is going to give you some examples of who might be eusocial. Eusocial termites, ants, and naked mole rats. I guess there would have been another way that they could have gotten that example in, but we now know that termites and ants and naked mole rats could be eusocial or are eusocial, and there's probably a bunch of other ones. Eusociality, that is a noun, and there's no specific etymology, but it's more of a social way to do this. So it's not exactly like a, well, I guess it kind of is. I was going to say it's not really like a bee system with the queen bee, but it kind of is, actually. There is one female and several males. So there's a queen, essentially. That's what it sounds like. Several males who reproduce, who make babies with the one female. And then there are other individuals who don't breed at all. They don't get to breed. And then they care for the young and protect the whole group. Protect and provide. They go get food. They fight away predators, whatever it is. I was just listening to a podcast not that long ago, and they were talking about naked mole rats in a specific place, and I think that they had a whole change of the queen, and they were trying to figure out why, what happened exactly. They were living harmoniously. They were doing the eurythmics, and then the whole structure changed. And I guess, like, I know in a bee situation and probably other ones that you can tell easily who's the queen. For some reason, they're bigger. For some reason, something happens and they're able to be huge. In a naked mole rat situation, and now let's just look up naked mole rat queen, I think maybe that they are noticeably different as well. I'm not entirely sure about that, but you got to go look up pictures of naked mole rats. They are like cute and frightening at the same time. Yeah, I don't know if that's the queen. That one's the queen. How can you tell it's the queen? I know it says queen question mark. We don't know. Is it the queen? Is it not the queen? I don't know. Yeah. These are fascinating. These naked mole rats are fascinating. So they live in a eusocial system, environment. I don't think that there's probably many humans who do this. All right, let's pick a word of the episode. We had European plan, European red mite, europium, Europa-centric, Eurozone, Uri, Eurybathic, Eurydice, Eurahaline, Eurypterid, Eurothermal, Eurothermic, Eurothermos, urethermics. No, that's not how you say this word. Eurythmic, eurythmics, eurythmy, eurytopic, and eusocial. Eusocial. What's the EU use it going there for in the eusocial? Good, true. I don't know. This is one of the more confusing prefixes I've come across for some reason. I don't know. I don't understand. Well, like, how do you fit that with the word social? I don't know. If you know, please let me know. Email me, voicemail me, whatever. So I think I'm probably going to pick one of these eurythmic words of relating to eurythmy. Maybe eurythmy. Eurythmics is the art of harmonious bodily movement. Eurythmy is a system of harmonious, but let's do the art. Yes, let's do eurythmics. Yeah, let's do eurythmics. I wish I could think of one of their songs off the top of my head. Maybe I'll look one up real quick. And of course, I did, and I am aware more of the rhythmics than my brain knows. They are a pop duo. It looks like Dave Stewart and Annie Lennox are the main duo, but they got other people too. I have definitely heard of Annie Lennox. I think she had a whole successful solo career as well. They look just so pop duo-y. And you know, when you look up their song, Sweet Dreams is like the main one. And you know, I can't like technically sing it because I don't want to pay to sing it. Eurythmics are made up of two people. That's a song that I have sung. Okay, that's fine. It's movie time, people. Here we go with the movie time. We watched a very, very silly movie called Dicks the Musical. And this is a very adult movie. And it's a musical with fantastic songs and fantastic singing and dancing. And it's a weird, weird concept. And they find the line and they go right over the line. They're like, screw that line. It's behind us. We're going way over there. And it's just bonkers crazy. And I don't think it's gotten the greatest reviews, but it's not meant to be like Citizen Kane or something like that. It's called Dicks the Musical. What do you expect? It's very silly and adult and funny. Okay, that's the end of this episode. Thank you very much for listening and watching. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information sometimes with some eurythmics.